You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
For shizzle.
Go use that against me. For shizzle.
Hey, man, I'm too busy eating pound cake, man. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got back over to the apple fritters.
It's just feeling like that. It's the last day of August. September rolls in tomorrow, and it's just that we started the show that way, just talking about how it might not be the end of summer just yet officially, but when it's September, you know the fall is coming. And that means, of course, pumpkin spice and apple cider donuts and just, you know, again, all that feel. And then of all the sports converging at once with the football season beginning a week from tomorrow and the NFL season, of course, beginning a week from tomorrow, the college football season already underway. Major League Baseball gets into their postseason, I should say, with wild card that is unlike anything we've ever seen before with the best of three. Six seeds now, like, playing in the wild card. You got teams like Baltimore, the Orioles. Can they make a push? They're right there. There's some of the races that you'll see down the stretch. Aaron Judge at 51 home runs now. Can he get the American League record? Can he get to 62? Is that possible? He's on pace for 63. Big story there. Basketball, you have the NBA training camps opening up in just a couple of weeks. The NHL should be opening up pretty soon here as well. And so you'll have all the majors going, college football going as well. You got the U.S. Open happening right now, Serena tonight. There's just a lot happening in sports after a summer where, you know, like, it's the reason why it takes so much time off, because it's like, hey, what's going on in the summer?
Yeah,
nothing. Yeah,
go from zero to 100, baby.
And also, we were talking about how we feel like we got to get out with the peoples. And one of the things we talked about was, what if we did a world tour? And we're getting invites to, let's see, so far, Des Moines, Iowa. We got Norfolk, Virginia.
Excellent.
They invited us. St. Louis.
Gangster.
Invited us. Detroit.
Amazing.
Michigan, your hometown, invited us. And we got Eugene, Oregon.
Unbelievable.
Which,
free nights.
I'm in. Right? I'm in. And then Arturo sends us a tweet. We have no ESPN affiliate here in my part of Texas.
Disrespectful.
But we do welcome you to have the best and most authentic Mexican tacos here in South Texas.
With extra
right
cheese?
Next to the border,
extra
right
cheese?
By the sea.
With extra cheese?
Well, if it's extra cheese, Lactavius can't partake.
That's why I want to know. We got extra cheese. Extra cheese.
Well, you love extra cheese on a taco no matter what.
You love that cheese on a taco.
But I'm for that too. So... Let's see if the suits will allow us to go on this tour. I'm so for this, no doubt about it. I'm also for Sal Palantoni, is going to join us here in just about 8 minutes or so. So let's get into some things here before we talk to Sal Pal. And one of the things that we have yet to talk about today, Bart, when it comes to the NFL, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So concern, you and I talked about it Monday about Tom Brady, how he looked. And when we saw him meeting the media, coming back from his 11 days away from the team, and we're like, there's something going on in his life. I don't like this. They've got injuries, and they've got absences, and their whole offensive line looks different, and there's concerns there. No Gronk there either. No Bruce Arians as the head coach anymore as well. And so are we anticipating the Bucs to have a great season just based on the fact that it's Tom Brady and because the Bucs have had that, you know, the demonstrated performance? Or, you know, should we watch there and say, what's going on down there? Well, Bruce Arians is still with the organization, of course. He was on First Take, and his feelings about the Bucs and Tom Brady is a lot different than what we are feeling lately. Molly Karam asked him a question that you'll hear right here, and his answer, very interesting.
Are you concerned about Tom at all?
No, none whatsoever. I mean, watching him at practice every day, he's throwing the ball better than he has in like 10 years. And when he's on the practice field, the energy level in the whole building goes up. So. Mm-hmm. Not worried about Tom. That's one guy you don't have to worry about.
You always feel that way, Bart. But I've never seen Brady look the way he looked on Monday. Now, what about the roster? That offensive line that is not the same as it was when they won a Super Bowl.
First and foremost, we got to
and their expectations.
First and foremost, we got to win our division.
Okay.
And then it's get in the tournament and go from there. But this is probably the best roster we've had since I've been there.
Mm, you, really? You feel like it's the best roster?
But what about the O-line issues? The injuries?
Well, we've got guys that we've had now bringing along. We drafted Robert Hanji for this reason, just in case we might have lost, you know, Jensen in free agency, but we didn't. And, Ryan, he'll get back sooner or later, but I feel very, very solid with the offensive line. That's not going to be an issue. Plus, Tom knows how to handle a young offensive line. Right, he's not going to stand back there and hold the ball very long.
Mm-hmm.
And so the talent on the roster from top to bottom is outstanding.
Bart, what do you think of what Arians is saying here? That the roster itself is better than it ever has been with Brady there.
I mean, well, you got Shaq Mason, who we know is a stud. Tristan Wirfs eventually will come back. Jansen will come back. You know, if you take those three guys all together, those are three Pro Bowlers, right? We know Tristan Wirfs is going to be a Pro Bowler this year. Shaq Mason has been a Pro Bowler and probably be a Pro Bowler again because the team is going to win, and that means when the accolades come. And Jensen is one of the best centers. Yeah, he'll come back, but he'll play like a Pro Bowler. He won't make it maybe because he's going to miss a lot of the season. But so if you put that, that's – better offensive line than what Tom had in New England, and all he did was consistently go to the Super Bowl. He has better weapons on the outside. I think a lot of people are underestimating what Russell Gage is as a receiver. He is a deadly player. Like, he's what Jamison Crowder was, but he did, you know, Jamison Crowder gets hurt often. He's a great slot receiver. So then on the outside, Chris Godwin coming back. So when you look at them offensively, I think they're still solid. And to Bruce Aaron's point, you know, they're still, you know, very, very good. And Tom has done more with less than what he has there in Tampa. Went to the Super Bowl and dominated the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
– and Gronk's coming back. He's still got Cameron Brate.
Yeah.
Gronk's going to come back in like
November. You think Gronk's going to eventually show up. Right.
Yes.
I there's got to come a time where Brady starts to become mortal. There has to. And especially if the offensive line – is shaky. Now, you heard Arian say he's not going to be able to hold the ball back there.
He never.
We know that. Away. Yeah, we know that. It's that's the way he has played since he's gotten there. So you don't have. So you agree with Arians? You don't have concern for the Bucs. That's what you're saying.
I tell you what, you saw him in the last preseason game. How many times did he get touched? Exactly. The ball's coming out. He knows where to go. A lot of times you can have free runners, and the decision's going to already be made.
All right.
What I do worry about is when he goes against the better teams that can put pressure on this team differently. There's a big difference between him being fine and him being a Super Bowl contender. I think they definitely make the playoffs. I don't think they win the division. You heard him allude to first thing we got to do is win our division because I think Bruce Aaron knows what I've been saying about the Saints the entire time.
I think a lot of people are
he knows
at
the record
now.
Against the Saints. He knows the record about against the Saints
in the regular season. 888 ESPN 888-729-3776. We are trying to keep you in the conversation. A lot of people want to talk with us today, and we appreciate it. So, Bart, earlier in the show. So, all right. So, optimism at least for the Bucks, but for the Cowboys, Bart has had nothing but pessimism. And James in Missouri wants to know why. James,
come on, James.
Setup too. Not a good setup. James, are you
James,
there?
That was perfect. James, hit us off on mute.
See what I'm saying? Like, I just – is James
– James, no, James, let us down.
Yeah.
Where you been, James?
There. Hello?
James, I mean, you're just – dead air on the radio is just not a good thing.
Yeah, man, you just –
what do you got, James?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We
– what you got for us, James?
Bart, I can't understand it, man. You trying to be like Stephen A. Smith and just constantly hating on the Cowboys or what?
I'm not. But if you look at it, I deal in reality, and I don't really get emotional at all. And I'm looking at, like, Tyron Smith is a big deal. We know how that offensive line and run game struggles when Tyron Smith's not there. You're going against Tom Brady and the Bucs. I mean, they had a classic game last year. But if you were asked who would have the upper hand in a rematch, you would have to go with Tampa, right? Am I tripping on that? And then am I tripping that Joe Burrow, now that he has protection in his offensive line, they went out and got him, three new, one guy from your side who kind of probably is in there dry snitching, telling them all about the line protections and what color means what and what adjustment means what. That's crazy. And then you got the defending Super Bowl champions. And then you got the Philadelphia Eagles, who I feel has closed the gap. Am I really off base by saying they could be 2-4? Is that crazy?
You remember last year, right?
No, is that crazy? Is it crazy? Is
right
it crazy?
Before the Bucks. Right before the Bucks last year, I called in at the same time. And I think it's going to be a close game again, and it's going to be a one-score game right at the end of the game.
Okay, so if it's a close game, who are you giving the edge to, Tom Brady or anybody else in the NFL in a close game?
Every other year, I would have said Tom Brady, but he's got stuff going on this year.
The dude got voted the number one player in football for last year. All of a sudden,
that's 4 years.
I'm saying last year.
I'll say this though: who do you trust more in a last? And we got to run here, James.
He trusts triple J, yogurt man in Dak Prescott. Stop it.
Well, not even that. Do you trust Tom Brady or do you trust Mike McCarthy? We'll leave it right there. All right, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got more of your calls. We will continue them. We got them stacked up, ready to go. But we also have Sal Palantoni on the other side of Bart telling you about O'Reilly.
Oh, man. Want to discuss the 39th season of the NFL? Huh?
Oh! What? No, we're going to keep your car on the road.
Okay. I'll reload it.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are here to keep your car on the road with the right parts. Advice from the professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once.
Wait. Isn't that true, though? O'Reilly. Have you ever had to do some work and you're like, I got to buy this tool? I need it for one thing. I'll never need it again. Why am I buying it?
Well, we've rented carpet cleaners before. You know what I mean? When you flood your crib out. Auto Parts Store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'Reilly.com.
O'ReillyAuto.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, but meh. I'm just excited to get to the main event. I'm just excited to get to the main event.
But it's so true. You need to buy a tool. You only need it once.
I can't imagine Sal ever getting a tool.
You know, Sal Palantoni definitely knows about this.
I don't know if he ever used a tool, man. He's too clean, man.
No.
Maybe Sal has hung up a TV. I don't know if he's been in the back building clubhouses for his children.
You don't think he's ever been under a car? Sal, have you ever been under a car, like changing oil?
Have you seen Sal dress, man? He's too clean
for that. He wouldn't be wearing a suit cleaning
it. I don't think Sal owns anything but a suit. Let's let him answer the question.
Hey, my uncle's Vito, my uncle Mario, my uncle Tony used to get underneath that Dodge Coronet and take it all apart in the driveway and put it back together. Okay,
were you guys driving? Were you guys racing? Were you racing it?
Oh, we were doing all kinds of legal and illegal stuff.
that's the old school. The Coronets, man. That's what you want. The muscle cars from back in the day.
You got that V8 engine in that little car like that. Woo! Mm-hmm.
We call those sleepers. That's when you pull up to the line, it's a sleeper. They don't know. You know what I'm saying? They don't know, Sal.
Well, what we do know is that it's the 39th season of NFL matchups, Saturdays and Sundays beginning week one. It's Sal Palantoni. It's Greg Cosell. Darius Butler. You see it on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+. We were talking about this earlier, Sal, and this is not part of the promotion or anything like that. It's the truth. Like, Bart is one of these. You're a film snob, right, Bart? You're a film snob.
Yeah, I love the X and O's.
And when some people break down film, Bart's like, man, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And what did you say about this show that you love watching it? Why?
Because this is like something that when you watch it, you're like, okay, yeah, they know what the hell they're talking about. They're breaking it down. They understand the rotations of the safeties. They draw on the lines. And if you been reading Football for Dummies, and you need to step your game up, your football acumen, you know, you watch this show, you come out on the other side better than, you know, 90% of the people that watch football.
Yeah, I love that.
Gosh, I appreciate that coming from you, Bart. That means a lot. That really does. You know, back in the day, when I would go back into that Ravens or that Jets locker room, first guy that I would look to see, and Bart will attest to this, I go back to the back of the locker room. Barbie's sitting on his stool, and I'm, okay, Bart, tell me what's really going on. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that's high praise coming from you, my brother.
No doubt.
It's also a great watch, no doubt about that. But so, again, also part of what you do for us at ESPN is reporting, like you just mentioned. From what I understand, you've got Bengals-Steelers week one, right?
Yeah, I do. And I'm a little confused, frankly. I think a lot of people are about the Steelers quarterback situation. Maybe that's what they want. But, you know, they drafted Kenny Pickett. But the word coming out of there is that Mitch Trubisky is going to start. They like his experience. He's had a good camp. He's had a good preseason. And they just want to give maybe the young quarterback, the rookie quarterback, a little bit more seasoning, some time to watch things from the bench. But it's pretty interesting to me that here you have a franchise, first time in this century, where, you know, Ben Roethlisberger will not be the starting quarterback, and their succession plan, you know, doesn't look like, you know, it's just press the launch button and here we go. So that's going to, I think, transform the calculus in that division for this season and maybe next, because the Steelers are always right there. You know, you had the Super Bowl contender come out of that division in the AFC North last year in the Bengals. And we all know about Joe Burrow coming back from the appendicitis, the appendectomy, and how he is going to perform his first couple of weeks and whether or not they got their offensive line together so that Joe Burrow is not under duress. And the thing about the Ravens is, you know, everybody talks about Lamar Jackson. To me, Lamar Jackson's going to be fine. He's got Mark Andrews. They'll be fine. They got a little healthier this year offensively.
The loss
of Wink Martin, the loss of Wink Martindale, I think, is key. That guy, that defense, led the NFL 3 out of the last 4 years in blitz percentage. They've got after people. They created turnovers and favorable field position. That defense, I want to see how it's going to look and what it's going to feel like on game day, what kind of energy they have and how they're getting after the quarterback. To me, one of the biggest subtractions in the AFC this year, other than Tyreek Hill going from the Chiefs to the Dolphins, is Wink Martindale leaving the conference and going to the Giants.
Yeah, I hear you on that, and you know we'll see if they can make the adjustment. But you know, the good thing is the defense coordinator was there for just a brief second. Hey, Sal, I don't know if you of course you know, fresh off the press right now, you know, ask and you shall receive. Jalen Reagor has been traded to the Vikings for 7. It is funny that it's the Vikings because that's the place with the player that resides that they should have picked, and they would never been in this situation when you think about Justin Jefferson. You know, but he gets his wish. He goes there for a 7th-round pick and maybe a conditional.
Whoa. Did you say 7th? Seven.
I'm sorry. I got a Midwest list.
Well, like, okay, no, it's, no, a 20, no, it's a 2023.
I heard you correctly.
Yeah.
But I'm like, come on, a 7th-round.
But a 2024 4th-round conditional pick,
conditional, right,
depending on how well he does. You know, it's ironic that, you know, the reason why they had to be in the A.J. Brown sweepstakes and it had to be in the Devontae Smith sweepstakes is because Jalen Reagor just didn't pan out. Is it more about Jalen Reagor or is it more about the offense and what they asked him to do within the offense?
No, I think it was just more about Jalen Reagor. Listen, you know, everybody thought when Justin Jefferson was not the pick, people were in shock. And, you know, now they're 2 for 2. They sent J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to Seattle, where, you know, they could have had D.K. Metcalf. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault the Eagles because they have had a tremendous offseason. Sometimes you make mistakes, first-round picks, and they had some bad ones with wide receivers. That's why they had to go out and trade for A.J. Brown. But you have to admit your mistakes and move on. So they went out and traded for A.J. Brown. They paid him the money. They probably wouldn't have had to do that if they had Metcalf and Justin Jefferson under the tent at NovaCare. No question about it, but they don't. So you admit your mistake and you move on. I do like, however, the addition that they made in the trade with the Saints to pick up the safety yesterday. I mean, that to me tells me that Howie Roseman is going for it this season. Mm. They are on a rookie contract with a quarterback, and he realizes you gotta definitely go for it this year. And I think they're in a position to do some damage.
Now, what Sal's talking about, Sal Palantonio joining us right now, what he's talking about is yesterday the Eagles did add safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the Saints and
surprising
putting him right
too
in there.
Surprising.
It'd be a full-time. He went from nickel to now he'll be a full-time safety with the Eagles. That's the plan there. But moving on from Jalen Reagor is also the news of the day here on the Eagles front. And Sal, I know you've done a lot of quarterback interviews over the last a couple of weeks, one of them being Jalen Hurts. So you mentioned it. They have built themselves a roster. They have had a really strong offseason, and there's a lot of expectations. Bart thinks that they can win the division. A lot of people believe they can win the division. And it's all eyes on, as you mentioned, the quarterback on a rookie deal, Jalen Hurts. What from your conversation can you share with us about why we should believe in the Eagles?
Well, from what I've seen and what I've heard from Jalen Hurts is he has changed his body. He has completely bought into the idea that he has to be more balanced on offense. The three things what you look at last year were, one, on third down, didn't get the job done nearly as much as he needed to do. Completion percentage was 26th in the NFL. Two, he's got to recognize more quickly. Bart was talking about rotation of the safeties and all that. And if you go back and you look at what Todd Bowles did to him, Allen, in the playoff game in January in the loss to the Bucs, you know, they just took Sanders away, Miles Sanders, and they said, okay, Jalen, we're going to key on you and we're going to make you a thrower. And if your quarterback can't throw your way out of trouble, throw your team out of trouble, mm-hmm. you're going to have a problem. So I think they have fixed a little bit of that by bringing A.J. Brown in, and he has definitely gained a lot more muscle, upper body and lower body, much more cleaner in the middle. Clearly, you can see the balls coming out more quickly. His base, he worked on it in California, his mechanics are better. I think it is all about him, but it's a prove-it year. I mean, and when you look at all three out of the four quarterbacks in the division are in a prove-it year. Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, who I talked to today, and Jalen Hurts. So it's a very volatile division, very volatile. And the Eagles have a pretty easy schedule, so I think they can emerge as the division winner.
Sal, before we let you go, let's just talk again about what's coming up for you, which is the 39th season of the NFL matchup. Saturdays, Sundays, it begins week one for the NFL season. Yourself, Greg Cassell, Darius Butler, it'll be on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+. It's something that Bart has talked about. He loves it certainly as well. For anybody that's not familiar, though, just give us a little taste of what we can expect each week from you guys.
Well, I think in week one, you know, we're going to really key on a couple of specific teams. First of all, I like what I see from the Miami Dolphins. So does Greg. So does Darius Butler. And we're specifically going to show what the Dolphins do defensively to confuse quarterbacks. Their DC, Josh Boyer, is really smart. And I like the design so far that we've seen from McDaniel, their new head coach. They're going to add speed. So I think what we try to do, Alan, specifically in the show, is give people a new look, a unique perspective, from a film perspective, something different each and every week, so that when they turn on the show on Saturday and Sunday, they're seeing something that's going to be a difference in the game that week. That's the bottom line. Before you make your investment, before you set your fantasy lineup, I like to say, mm-hmm. check out the matchup show, because I think you're going to get a different perspective that's going to be worth your while.
It's great. It's education. It's research. It's also just learning more about this great game.
And Sal, I'm going to watch the first show like I watch all the time, because it gives me some little nuggets that I need. But when I watch the show and I see what Miami's doing, I'm going to tell you defensively how to beat it. And I see if Tua Tagovailoa can make the adjustment to the adjustment.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. I thought you were going to say stuff. You watch the show because you want to see what suit and tie I'm wearing.
All right, listen,
it's always that.
I already know classic. You love your window panes and your paisleys. You know what I'm saying? I love the fact that you mix patterns. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't put stripes with stripes. You know, that's a no-no. You know what I mean? I have to tell Stephen A. to stop doing that because he makes that mistake all the time. You know what I'm saying? You have the paisley with the window pane, but then if you got a solid suit, then you hit it with some polka dots. You know what I'm saying? You're always on your game. So I ain't got to worry about that. I already know you're going to be casket sharp.
Sal, we love you, man. Thanks.
You got to pop on TV and on the radio, right? Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate you very much.
Pleasure.
All
my
the
guy.
Best.
My guy.
The great Sal Palantonio. Hey, coming up, one team that could be the linchpin, the key to getting a Donovan Mitchell deal completed. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
Haven't heard this in a minute.
I love this song.
Hell yeah.
He underrated, man. He's a rapper and a
so
singer.
So good.
Probably.
CeeLo.
He built like Bart Jones Drew.
Yeah. Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, a triple threat of protection with home, auto, and more. Visit progressive.com. We just had a preview of tomorrow's show during the break. We advise you to pay attention. We advise you to tune in tomorrow. Just ask Stosh. We advise you to tune in tomorrow. Because we all said it's too late in the show to get into this today. So we got to do this tomorrow. And yeah, we advise you to tune in tomorrow. Because it's just another one of these off-the-wall crazy things. But one thing from yesterday's show, Bart, and you disappeared, by the way. I don't see you.
Oh, man, why keep doing this?
I don't see you. You disappeared. There you are. Hmm. We'll be together next week, by the way.
Yes, sir.
And speaking of the world tour, we also got invited to Galveston, Texas.
Oh, that's nice, man. That's right by the water, son.
Yeah. Leo's Cajun Corners.
Not too far from here. Ooh.
The best riblets in the USA, according to, how do you say that? It's Michael. Michael sent that to us on Twitter.
Riblets.
On the Barton Hunt Twitter feed.
Is that like, burnt ends?
Presented
like
by Dr.
Brisket?
Pepper, by the way.
You know, one thing I say about Dr. Pepper... Dr. Pepper is the only soft drink that the diet tastes exactly like the regular. Just saying.
Okay.
Just saying. Okay. No, you drink diet, like, it tastes chocolate. No, it tastes exactly the same.
That's what you want, right?
Exactly. I don't want to know I'm making a healthy choice.
Yesterday's show, Harry Douglas was here, and we were talking about the R.J. Barrett contract extension. That, by the way, wasn't the max. So the max would have been 5,190. He got 4 years, so he's closer to free agency. And so it's 4 years, and it's up to 120. And if I'm not mistaken, Bobby Marks yesterday told us exactly what it was. It was 4 years, 107, and $13 million of incentives.
Hmm.
So like all-star team and stuff like that. So it's a very affordable contract, right? And I said, so what happened is the Knicks took him off the table, essentially, by doing this, because it would be very difficult to include him in a trade for Donovan Mitchell at this point now, because if you did, well, the money doesn't match anymore. Now you'd have to put more players in it, so it makes it harder to put him in. They call it the poison pill, because if you just traded him as such, his contract would trade a lot easier than it would with this extension, which now you take the average and then it raises up the number. I know it's convoluted, but it's basically, that's why they call it the poison pill. But it doesn't mean he can't be traded, right? But essentially, you took him off the table in a team-to-team deal. Now, how do you get this deal done, Bart? From what I've heard, it's now going to probably take a third team, and it could take a lot of players. And you could see a scenario where the Jazz walk away with as many as 7 first-round picks, and the Lakers get involved, and they continue to upgrade their roster while also shedding themselves of Russell Westbrook. Now, they're saying all the right things right now. Oh, Pat Beverly and Russell Westbrook, they're going to work great together, even though they hate each other. They're going to work great together.
Yeah, neither one of them can shoot.
And that they're going to have this bulldog backcourt and all that stuff. And maybe it'll work. Maybe. But if you could add Bogdanovich from the Jazz and Fournier from the Knicks, so you have two guys that can shoot threes, and they need floor spaces. They don't have guys that can do that on that team. Put them on the wing. If you could add those players to upgrade your roster, and you're giving up first-round picks to do it, and the Jazz get first-round picks out of this now, and they're like down the road first-round picks. The Knicks get Donovan Mitchell and maybe like Rudy Gay. That's a bigger deal now, right? And you're sending, so, and the Knicks, by the way, are sending young pieces. So you're talking
Fournier, Obi Toppin?
Well, like, yeah, I told you would end up being flipped to the Lakers, but you'd probably have to put Grimes and Obi Toppin in this deal, right? Something like that.
No, quickly?
No. I wouldn't do that.
Would you keep Grimes?
I'm giving you. No. I think
Who would you rather?
I would rather keep quickly. Okay? Because off the bench, your team could be. Your bench for the Knicks in this scenario could be Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickly, Rudy Gay, and Carmelo Anthony, if you sign him as a free agent to replace Obi Toppin, which I think you could do. I think Carmelo would come back. So that's a pretty good veteran bench instead of a young bench, right? So there's your scenario. If you're the Lakers, now Westbrook goes to the Jazz, who then would get the cap relief, and they would buy him out, and then Westbrook could just sign wherever, you know, else he'd want to go. And if you're Oklahoma City, do you do it? Or if somebody else, bring him in. But the point is that the Lakers get what they need, which is shooting. They don't have enough of it. The Jazz get what they want, which is a boatload of draft picks. And the Knicks get what they want, which is Donovan Mitchell. So can the Lakers be that team? Are they willing to be that team? And they'd have to be willing to give up their first-round picks to do it. Would the Lakers be willing to do this and make this deal happen? They got a couple of weeks to get it done. But I feel like that's the way this gets done now. I don't think this will be a straight-up Knicks and Jazz deal. I think this will be a third team. I think there'll be multi-players. I mean, I'm trying to think now. How many players am I talking about here? That's 3, 2. We're talking about maybe 6 or 7 players involved in this deal, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And again, a ton of draft picks as well.
But tell me this, though. Like, what do you feel or hear about or think about the rumors that maybe Miles Turner and that, you know, where does Indianapolis or the Pacers play in this whole process?
Depends on if they want to get involved, and if they get involved, they're going to have to include draft picks. You know, they just made a lot of moves. They've revamped that team, and they're building it around Halliburton now. I mean, that's what they want to do. And are they willing, if you're doing that with a young player, are you willing to give up draft picks?
I hate that you say that, man. We're in this situation.
I know.
We're in this situation because we didn't pick Halliburton.
But draft picks are what's going to get this deal done, because that's what Utah wants. I've told you that. And the Lakers have them and could be willing to move them if they get pieces that can make them, bring them closer to being a championship contender. And what are they lacking? They're not lacking the talent. They have LeBron. They have Anthony Davis. What are they lacking? They
shooting.
Have some toughness down in Patrick Beverley. Exactly. Floor spacing. Shooting. You get that in this deal. Would they be willing to do it and maybe get this deal to the finish line? So it's something certainly to keep an eye on. That's why I just wanted to bring it up, because we did talk about it a lot yesterday. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We continue with your calls, and also, once again tonight, could be the final night of a legendary career. Serena Williams back at center court at the U.S. Open. We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
The Yankees were last night, as they get the 7-4 win, which is the most important part if you ask Aaron Judge. But Aaron Judge gets home run number 51, 10 shy now of Roger Maris. He's on pace for 63, 51 home runs, and the month of August is not yet quite over yet. And as you know, the Major League record is he will not get. But the 61 is still the American League record and the Yankee record, and he's right there. But he's hit now over 50 home runs twice in his career. The first time as a rookie was in 2017 when he won Rookie of the Year and was runner-up for MVP. He likely will win MVP this year. But here are the names he's joining, Bart. Maris, Mantle, Ruth, A-Rod, himself. I mean, this is a very select group over our past 100 years of baseball where he has been able to do something like this. But more importantly was, of course, the win. That's the most important part of things. And so, you know, that's as we talk about, you and I talk about things to watch as we now, the calendar flips to September, is can he get there? Can he do it? And I'm still wondering, when all I hear is from managers and other teams that they marvel at his ability to hit the baseball.
Yeah.
I've yet to see a team just pitch around him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Like, nobody wants to be the team or the pitcher on somebody's record, right? So I wonder if it gets close as it inches closer, they're like, not us. Or do you have an ace up? Or, like, you know what I mean? Well, especially if you're in the third man on your rotation. Like,
wouldn't you rather have somebody else beat you?
Yeah.
Like, I know Benintendi and Rizzo also hit home runs last night. So they obviously have guys that can hit home runs, but their offense has been anemic in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't get anything going offensively whatsoever.
Not a Mets got a little taste of that right now.
Yeah, that's true, too. But you know, Judge has been the one guy, though, that has at least the one thing he's continued to do. He's struck out a lot more now than he has recently. He has been striking out more, but still hitting the home runs, and teams are still pitching to him. That's great. You know, like, it's just so I'm really curious.
I like
to see
the competitive nature,
how
though. I do like the competitive nature, though. Like, they not being haters. They're like, yo, if he hit it, he deserve it, but we're going to go at him. I mean, people, Barry Bonds, the year he had, man, he was like, hell no.
You see Darius Slayton, and we talked about trade rumors and stuff like that. He doesn't really care, but he said, you know, if somebody calls him and, like, the Rams say they're going to give you Aaron Donald for Darius Slayton, I mean, I'd make that trade, too.
Bart and Han.
We going to the loo.
Let's go.
Hey, must be the money.
Must be the money. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Bart, on Monday we did the What Are You Watching? And we both said that we'd be watching Serena in the first round of the U.S. Open because it's big time. It's U.S. Open. It's, you know, Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's Billie Jean King Court. It's center court. It's everything, right? Mm-hmm. And it could be, like, maybe it's the last time we'll see her. And then she wins, which wasn't a big surprise, but she won, and we saw that reach back. You know, she just kind of reached back and showed us a little bit that serve. That was her trademark for throughout her entire career. So a little bit of that. So that competitive fire in her and all that. And it was like, all right, cool. So she moves on. She will play again in the second round. And that's awesome. And then after it, we had like this half hour long, you know, farewell thing that was like bizarre, but it happened.
Like, I won. So, y'all think I was going to win? What's up?
That's what I mean. It's like, even our family was like sitting there looking like, what are we doing?
What,
like, why are we
this?
Doing the send off? I got to play. So tonight, as we mentioned, she moves on to the second round. Now, Annette Contave is number two in the world.
Ooh,
like, winning
chicken
tonight would be a bit of a surprise, right? Yeah. That would be a surprise if she wins tonight because, you know, it's not that Serena, you know, she's just at the end, and, you know, it's just not all there. So what happens tonight? Like,
they,
you can't do
they,
it
they
again.
They've got to
like,
replay
hey,
the video.
Hold the placards again. Like Oprah's video, let's play that again. Like, she's not going to want to sit around and do that again.
Yeah, you might have a bunch
so will
of people.
It be,
you have a bunch of
so did they make a mistake? Like, should they have not done that?
Yeah, they shouldn't have scheduled
like,
it.
Should they have saved
it? It's like when you are in a closeout game, a game six, and you're the team that's ahead, and you lose. You don't come out and bring the goggles and the damn champagne. Well, like yeah, you wait.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's like your last home game, so you lose game six, and it's like, you know, we still got to play game seven, but this is probably our last, you know, home game.
Yeah, wacky
deal. You know, like, so let's wave to the crowd. Like, let's do jersey off the back kind of thing. Like, nah, we ain't doing that. Like, I just feel like it was odd to do it the way they did it.
Yeah,
but somehow, I guess they stuck to it.
Yeah, it's always
and
odd,
now this
man
will feel almost anticlimactic if she loses, which no one would be shocked if she did.
She loses, she's going to turn the lights on. All right, see you later. He got the show yesterday. What about the fans that's come here that say they're going to be there for her last match? And they like, man, hold on.
But
y'all ain't going to give us nothing?
Like, no send-off at all. Like, it just – I feel like – and if you do a send-off tonight, it's like, yeah, we already did this. Like, yeah. Like, we saw this video. Yeah. I don't understand. I think it kind of it might ruin what tonight could have been a little bit more emotional of a farewell, a send off, a goodbye. You know, unless maybe that's how she wanted it. Maybe she wanted to be able to just, you know, blow kisses to the crowd, do her twirl that she always does, and then leave.
Nah, I think
she hates to lose.
I think she hates that they like thought so little of her that they thought that it was appropriate that she was going to take the L. Like, she was just coming there to show up and not coming there to try and win and compete.
Gail King comes out with the microphone and I'm like, whoa, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just.
She remembers how the other greats went out. She remember how Jerome Bennis went out. She remember how Kobe Bean Bryant went out. She remember how, you know, you want to drop the mic. You want to go and make so what better place, you know, even if you do lose, you lose against the champ. You know what I mean? I remember watching a movie, and when when Venus was 14, she was there, and she was going against the number two girl in the world or number one person in the world, and she walked off the court, came back out, she beat her in the first two sets. Like, I see her, like falling her sore, like, man, this is all I got. I'm going to be a tough out. I can see her, because now what yesterday did is, I think, put in her mind, like, man, this is it. Like, so, she would have lost the first one. Like, she would have been disappointed because I think she assumed that she was going to beat that player. But I think now she's like, yo, this can be – I think she's going to be all in her feelings and it's going to be emotional. And you're going to get her to play maybe her best game, but that may not be enough. But that may not be enough. But it may be a super competitive because she's not going to go out like that because she remembers how the great ones went out.
Go down swinging kind of thing. I mean, you really want to get the crowd. You want to get the emotions behind you. Do something like that to really get everybody, you know, just rooting for you. I mean, the whole building was on her side in the first round. Now, I imagine you're still going to get that same emotion tonight, you know, in the stadium. And you're still going to get that crowd that's going to roar everything that she does. But the reality, of course, is going to be, can she win tonight and make this story continue? We all hope so. And if she does, you know we'll be talking about it tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.